9256. Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So last week on the Paracast, Chris, did we put to rest the possibility that the world's going to end in December because of one specific Mayan calendar?
Well, put that way, yeah, I think we did. But, of course, the door is still open for all sorts of things that could happen between now and then. I personally think it's a tricksterish event in culture, and I think everybody's going to breathe a sigh of relief, and then something major is going to happen a few months later in 2013. That's my guess.
Is that like the horror movie? It ends when they kill the creature,
right.
And everyone goes back to their normal lives, and then 1 minute later, the creature is back. They have to have one final kill the creature scene.
Where the son of the creature comes back.
I think of the movie Poltergeist, where right. Everything was resolved, except when it wasn't.
Right. Yeah, it's a cliffhanger.
Well, let's hope that we don't have the proper cliffhanging there. Of course, the country may go off a cliff between now and then because we have the election, of which the less said the better. I think
yes.
In terms of elections that I've lived through, this is the craziest campaign yet.
Yeah.
And I got a letter from somebody who said, why are you talking about politics on the Paracast? And I said, hey, we talk about government disinformation with regard to UFOs. We talk about the government engaging in mind control tests and things like that. How do you keep politics out of it?
It's pretty tough. I think it's all you know, connected on some level.
Well, it started the politics when Major Kehoe demanded congressional investigations for UFOs back, what, in the 1950s?
Right.
And we talk about MJ-12, and we talk about the military controlled by the politics. We talk about the military-industrial complex. I guess we don't always have to talk about, well, who the president is. No, yes, we have to talk who the president is, because if there's a president, say Romney, will he be more amenable to talking about UFOs?
Maybe if you broach the question that Moroni was maybe an alien or an ET, that might provoke a response. But first of all, you folks that don't know who Moroni was, that was the shining being that came down and gave Joseph Smith the tablets in the 1840s in upstate New York, which spawned the Mormon religion, which I've always considered to be a tricksterish kind of UFO alien contact event, if it really happened. So good question. We'll see. Someone should pop it.
Well, we have a lot of questions to pop about today's episode, but we'll get into that in a moment. At the end of last week's episode, in our discussion of Mayan mysteries, you mentioned that you and Cliff Mahudi were going to be hosting a special safari to Mayan country?
Yeah, we are indeed. The World Explorers Club, along in conjunction with Adventures Unlimited Press, is putting on a tour down to Palenque. Just before Thanksgiving, which is right in the time period that Terence McKenna originally figured out through his time wave zero, kind of ebbing and flowing of novelty in culture. He came up at the end of a major cycle during that particular time period, and then later said, well, isn't it interesting? It's, you know, just over a month away from the end of this particular cycle of the Bakhtun. So, prices are a lot more affordable. They're, you know, for the actual 2012 events that my brother and Johnny have three tours that are going off simultaneously, the 17th through the 23rd of December. And David Childress came up with the idea, well, let's go down there early for people that don't want to be down for all the craziness at the end of the year there and do, you know, do a tour when we can keep the price down. So Clifford and I will be presenting in November down in Palenque, and then we do have the three tours going off around that 2012 time period.
So you're going to be doing shows from down there?
Yeah, why not? That would be great. It'll be our first foreign remote taping.
Well, we've had guests as far away as Australia, But yeah, never.
But not you and I.
No, and it's going to be you. It's not going to be I.
Well, maybe.
You know, if someone wants to finance my trip, maybe I'll consider it, but I don't know.
It'd be fun to see in the jungle with the monkeys there, Gene.
Well, they have to tell us apart. They'll just say, who is that alien being who has made his appearance there? The Mayans will be freaking.
Yeah, because you're
talking about
the
wild animals. Think about the Mayans.
Yeah, they'd be a hard time to see you because they're about half your height.
Are they?
Yep.
So it's like me looking down at little gray aliens. You know,
something
right
like
now we're going to have pickets around our studio from those who have Mayan blood. He attacked us. He called us like gray aliens. No, I'm talking about the height.
Okay.
Not about
we'll
the look.
We'll let you slide.
Sure. Yes, you will. Of course you will. But it sounds fascinating. Tell our listeners once again where they can get more information about this special tour featuring Chris O'Brien, featuring our favorite Zuni elder, Cliff Mahoudi.
Well, you can go to adventuresunlimitedpress.com or the World Explorers Club, .com. And there's also a full-page ad in the brand-new World Explorers Club magazine. Or you can catch up with me for more details and contact me at my website, OurStrangePlanet.com.
And Our Strange Planet, by the way, is being updated as we speak.
Yay!
Finally, we had to find the right people to do it. And it's be a great design, a lot easier to read. You know, I'm not a big fan of this so-called paranormal scheme for websites, which is white lettering on a black background. You know, if you have to have a paranormal site, it's got to be white lettering on a black background. That's okay for labels, you know.
Right.
But reading thousands of words of text, white on black, is a chore. It doesn't work.
Yeah. Well, we're going to correct all that.
Right. Going to fix it. Make it whole again. Speaking of fixing things, we're going to fix a lot of interesting information from our guests today. And you've assembled a winner here. This is going to be one of the best episodes ever. Tell our listeners a little bit about it.
Well, Chris Lambright is someone that's been an unsung hero working behind the scenes for decades in ufology. He's down in Texas. He was one of the early investigators of the Cash Landrum case. He's worked with other kind of low-key investigators, including Tommy Bland. And Chris has written a book called X Descending that's just amazing. It the first half of the book is about the story of Ray Stanford analyzing one of his films, giving a presentation to a aerospace scientist, and then the results of his analytical process ended up in the aerospace industry. And we're going to go in-depth in this particular regard. Chris is an incredible researcher. I was just amazed at the amount of research that he was able to dig up about this pretty controversial scenario. And the second half of his book is a real interesting look at the Paul Benowitz case, including really high-res color photographs that Benowitz took that I was unaware existed. And he really, again, does a superb job researching these stories. And this is really going to be a really nice show, I think.
Now, not to start a hornet's nest here, you were telling me that his take of this is somewhat different than the take that was made by Greg Bishop when he wrote his book.
Well, I think the fundamentals of the story are the same. I think there are nuances that there may be some differences there. And of course, we will, at some point during the show, we will talk about that a little bit. The Benowitz case is very controversial. It's very difficult to, obviously, in a disinformation project like evidently went on with the man by the government. It's difficult sometimes to really ascertain, you know, the hard-boiled truth about any series of events like this. But I think Chris has done, you know, in combining his research with Greg's research, I think we're coming up with a much better, fully rounded picture of that whole scenario. And it's pretty sobering material. And I can't wait to quiz him on some of the details.
Okay, our guests are Chris Lambright, Ray Stanford, all this and more. And by the way, the book is called X Descending. Coming up next on
the Paracast.
This, folks, is a revelation. No more wall warts for charging your USB devices, including your iPads, iPhones, iPods, Android cell phones, USB chargeable cameras, and more. Power to You replaces the standard AC outlet and gives you two high-power USB ports and two AC outlets. To get one, go to maxsales.com/power to you. That's maxsales.com, power number two, letter U. Check it out. You know, we develop trust in the people we know, but we don't really know someone we can see. That's why I recommend GoToMeeting with HD Faces. It's a simple online meeting service. It's GoToMeeting by Citrix. All it takes is a webcam and a click to instantly collaborate. You can start hosting your own face-to-face online meetings today with GoToMeeting. You can try it free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and use the promo code PODCAST.
If you're taking 1, 2, 5 or more nutritional supplements, please stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food supplement you can buy. Men, women, children, even Olympic athletes the world over have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com. And now take just one nutritional supplement instead of many. The Bio Superfood formulas are whole food products composed with four of the most nutrient-dense algae found on Earth. Bio Superfood for the brain helps with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. If you can increase brain health, the rest of the body is a no-brainer. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity and is safe for you and your family. Learn more and order your Bio Superfood formulas at BioAge.com, spelled BioAge.com, BioAge.com, or call 877-288-9116. That's 877-288-9116. BioAge, the age of advanced organics.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
In a coming-apart world, you need something to keep it tied together. That something is Atwood Rope, the highest quality rope made in the USA, from exotic braids for military, rescue, arborists, shipyards, towline, or boating. Quality rope at affordable prices you and your customers can depend on. Find a dealer or shop online at atwoodrope.net. Enter promo code RADIO to receive 100 feet of 550 paracord free with purchase. Atwood Rope, working to keep the world tied together.
What is the most abundant resource on Earth? Water. It's essential for sustaining life, but it's not always the most available. When disaster strikes, water quickly vanishes from store shelves, like it did during 9/11, Katrina, Japan, and in Joplin. 3 days without water and your body begins to shut down. Don't risk being without an abundant supply of water when the next disaster hits. Get a FlowJack hand well pump. The affordable FlowJack drops right into almost any well and is easy to install without having to remove the existing pump, giving you immediate access to plenty of cool, clean water. You could risk your family's health on a limited supply of stored water, or you could be prepared with the reliable, affordable FlowJack backup hand pump kit for only $3.99 complete. See how it works at FlowJack.com, spelled FlowJack.com. Be sure to spell FlowJack.com or call 855-4-FLOWJACK, 855-4-FLOWJACK. That's 855-435-6525. Proudly made in America. FlowJack hand well pumps. Peace of mind in a box.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And if you'd like to catch up on past episodes, we have hundreds of shows for you to download direct from theparacast.com. That's theparacast.com. Or check us out at iTunes.
With Gene Steinberg, Chris O'Brien, and a second Chris Lambright, we're in that dilemma again with the multiple Chrises. That's how it goes. We've got to change all their names. Anyone named Chris, from now on, you go on the show, you're either KK or RR or who knows. And we have Ray Stanford, of which there is only one. Hi, Ray.
Hi.
Let's start in our focus here in discussing this book called X Descending. The first focus is a UFO movie, a multi-witness UFO movie that was filmed by you, Ray Stanford. So tell our listeners what that's about, and let's see how it dovetails with the topic of this book. Ray?
Okay. This movie was taken beautiful mid-after sunny October 5th, 1985 afternoon on the bayfront in Corpus Christi, Texas, and right on the Gulf Coast, really. My two eldest children and I were down there and seeing the sights on the bay, and we had walked out on a pier called the Irmo Cove Breakwater Pier. And there were other people out there, and at the park adjacent, there were probably about 400 people, but there were, let's see, six of us on the pier, two adults and their 21-year-old daughter, adult too, and my two kids and I. And my kids, I had an agreement with them. If they ever spotted what turned out to be a bona fide anomalous aerial object, that whoever spotted it, if I got a film of it, could get paid $10. Unfortunately, we walked out on the pier, and I was watching my step because there was algae on the pier, and I was afraid they were going to slip off on the rocks. But they were watching the sky, and both of them at the same moment pointed up and said, "Daddy, what's that?" I looked up, and here is a disc flying over from the north, from the east northeast, in the direction of Ingleside, Texas. I grabbed my camera, which I habitually carried with me, which was on 10-power telephoto, and started filming. And I hadn't been filming very long when the kids said, "Daddy, there's another one coming in the same way." And sure enough, there was. Turns out there was a procession of, at least by the time we got observing it, of eight total objects, seven of which were identical, which is the type that Chris Lamite deals with in his book, Extrascending. And then there was a third one that was even more bizarre and different. But there was some things that really surprised me that I had never thought of in terms of this type of objects. It turns out that these seven objects, which appear to be essentially or exactly perhaps identical, were flying along there with the dome in the opposite direction from the direction of travel, and the flat, what we might consider the bottom, actually in the direction of travel. And there was a structure constructed on that relatively flat-looking bottom of the disc, or it may have been a six- or eight-sided figure. Sometimes when it fired the blue-green flames around the edge, it looked round, and other times it looked more polygonal. But anyway, there was a structure there that reminded me of a tower with some little triangular-looking devices on it, but it would build up with the plasma, apparently a light anyway. I presume it was a plasma, highly electrified atmosphere anyway, and this would project out ahead of it in pulses up to maybe 30 diameters in front of them. And this is something, of course, that I had never encountered in the literature, and I had never seen myself. And it was very, very, I knew that I was getting something really, really important and strange. And there was another aspect. There was a different kind of a beam. Let me explain. These objects, each one of them, came over from the direction of Ingleside, the east-northeast, and it would come to almost overhead where we were there on the Corpus Christi Bayfront by what's called the E.B. Cole Park. And then they would, each one would turn and go up almost, they were coming horizontally, but then they would turn and go almost straight up vertically, not completely vertically, but almost, and would disappear with distance, thus going overhead, straight into the distance. And but there was another phenomenon, a different type of beam that was projected. Do we vote that I tell about that, or shall we just leave it to the one that Chris talks about in his book?
Wow, I would like to hear about both.
Okay, let me tell you about both. One of the objects, I think it was the last one that I had only film enough to get four of these, but one of the objects stopped when it got into that overhead position where they would normally go up vertically. In fact, one of the objects stopped and waited for another one to come up to it from the same direction, and they got side by side and then went up. But anyway, one of the objects, when it stopped, stayed there longer, and usually they didn't stop. They would just make the turn and keep going up. But this one that stopped projected out, relative to where I'm looking up at it, the right side of it, projected out one of these classical so-called solid light beams or slow-projecting beams. It reminds me of pulling an old-fashioned telescope out. And this beam came slowly out, and it started rotating down pretty much toward us, and then around past our direction, and eventually drew in to the side of the object. I got complete film of this in broad daylight, and as it happens, there was something coming down this beam. It turns out the beam was releasing smaller objects. And they would come down the beam, which was kind of a electric blue color. Inside the beam, the objects looked kind of a magenta type color. They changed somewhat when they got out of the beam. And as one can see in the print from the film, they generated a kind of a rhombic, some might call it diamond shape, but a four-sided rhombic shape around them before they flew off. It wasn't so much later that I learned of a case in Germany where a mothership projected one of these slow beams and objects went to and from the beam. And this made me think, not at the time, I was too excited to think about much what was happening, but later I decided that probably the beam was a protection from the primary field of the object that they were leaving to get them a certain radius from it before they took off under their own power.
Okay, I understand. So anyway, this is speculation that's going to be difficult to substantiate. The movie itself, what does it show?
It shows that, all of that happening. And so it's not speculation, just about what it was doing. The interpretation of it is speculation, of course. But then the beam ahead was, we can pretty well deduce what that's doing because we've got beautiful frames from the film, and it is also electric blue. However, as I said, it's much longer and narrower than this slow projecting beam. And it was, it looked kind of like a, make an electric rope. It looked like it had spirals within it, or like it was twisted or spiraling, although it's very narrow and would go far out. And there was succession of pulses of this beam. It wasn't as if a beam stayed continuous. There would be an effect that go all the way out, and then another one began back at the tip of the tower after it started glowing brighter and would go on out. So when you take the individual movie frames and look at them, you see that there are what I call pulse regimes, in which there's the newest pulse near it in a given frame, but you see successive places where the beam has progressed outward. And as this beam goes out, you see coming off of it the kind of thing you would see if you took a magnetic, just a magnet and put a paper over it and put some shavings. You see that kind of curvature like at the top of a magnetic field at each one of these pulse regimes along the beam and then, of course, at the end of it as well. So it was quite remarkable and quite surprising because they just hadn't conceived of objects flying with their flattest side forward. So apparently these must be non-aerodynamic, maybe magnetoplasmodynamic devices of some sort.
We have Ray Stanford. We have Chris Lambright. We have another Chris O'Brien with Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
If you want to get your website online and you need reliable service, first-class service at the lowest possible price, there's only one place to go. Well, DreamHost has a special promotion with our show where they'll offer you unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click web apps such as WordPress, 24/7 support. You can save over $55. You want to know how? Go to dreamhost.com/radio, dreamhost.com/radio. Fate Magazine provides true reports of the strange and unknown. Keep up with the latest on angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, life after death, and much, much more. To receive your free issue of Fate Magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit their website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
If you are a sales professional and you love to help people and make money, stop everything and listen to me now. InspectorAudit.com is hiring brokers nationwide. InspectorAudit.com is the primary source for exposing all loan-related bank and servicing fraud. If you're passionate, driven to succeed, and you want to earn real money, then we want you. Call InspectorAudit.com right now at 855-552-9932. InspectorAudit.com, 855-552-9932. Commissions paid daily.
We the
people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Crank up your savings at the Webb's headquarters for hand crank and solar power preparedness. 21stCenturyGoods.com. Save now on solar generators from $289. Solar lanterns, just $24.95. Solar waterproof flashlights, only $12.95. Cook Anywhere solar ovens from $279.95. Portable solar panels from 21stCenturyGoods.com give you the freedom to harness the power of the sun to charge your gear wherever you go. Show your patriotism with our line of solar flagpole lights. Plus, find a full line of emergency and shortwave radios, solar lanterns, and LED flashlights. And see our monthly two-for-one specials at 21stCenturyGoods.com. Spelled the number two, the number one, ST, CenturyGoods.com. Or call 866-999-8422. Spend $100 or more and get a free hand crank solar flashlight when you mention you heard us on GCN at checkout. Crank up your savings only at 21stCenturyGoods.com.
Spring is here, growing season. The economy is not getting any better. In fact, it's getting worse. Think about it. At this rate, how will your life be in a month or even a year? Maybe you've been putting things off, but the time to act is now. The country is running out of food. You need to get your seeds before it's too late. At OrganicaSeed.com, you'll find one of the largest online selections of heirloom seeds, survival seed packs, as well as the giant vegetable seed collections that can feed you and your family for years. Grow your very own fresh vegetables, wheatgrass, fruits, herbs, rice, tea, coffee, and tobacco. With detailed growing guides available to you at no charge, you can maximize your harvest and investment. And the best part? All orders ship within 24 hours. So head over to OrganicaSeed.com. That's OrganicaSeed.com. OrganicaSeed.com today.
Hi, this is Don Ecker, and you are tuned in to the Paracast. Let me tell you what, you're going to hear stuff here that you probably won't hear anywhere else. Hear that, George Snorri?
Okay, we're covering here this film that Ray Stanford acquired of UFO, with Ray Stanford, of course, and also Chris Lambright. The book is called X Descending, covering in part this film, and also covering the controversial Paul Benowitz case and all the strange things that happened there. Got a lot to go. Ray, this film, is it available online somewhere for our listeners to take a look?
No, it is not, and it probably will not be for a long time. Those who are serious researchers, as I've said before, that want to see this thing, if they can show me they're legitimate, honest, and are trying to make genuine contributions to our knowledge of anomalous aerologic science, I will be happy to show them this in the presentation concerning the physical properties of anomalous aerial objects that, of course, both Chris's here have seen and that many others have seen as well. That's the way they're going to have to see it, though, for now.
So they have to see in person if they are able to attend one of these sessions?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Okay. Is there any reason why it's not online?
Well, in the first place, I consider the details of this. I've still debated this for years, as Chris Lambright knows. I consider this possible that some of the details of this may be pertinent to national defense. There are details in the pattern, the emission pattern around these beams, that should further tell an advanced aerospace engineer or a physicist dealing in this what is happening in a way that is probably beyond still anything that has been replicated based on this, as Chris reports in his book. And I don't like to just throw these things out. Furthermore, I don't like to throw them out and let all these jokers that I see every day on the internet via YouTube that are faking, you know, Photoshop things. I don't want to tell them what to fake. And if necessary, I'll keep it secret forever and only share it with scientists who might be able to apply it further, then let those jokers get a concept of what these things really look like.
For the benefit of our listeners here, the book X Descending, does it show anything from this film?
Oh, you're asking Chris Lambright?
I'm asking either of you.
Oh, you're asking me? Okay, yeah, I've seen the book. No, it does not show anything from the film. Chris is, however, an excellent excellent computer artist, and he had done some excellent simulations based on what I showed him of the, you know, from the movie. I mean, he's done a good job. It's not as pretty and detailed as the movie, but he's basically focusing on the main plasma aspects of it. I mean, there's some pretty remarkable details when you look at the actual movie. And I didn't mention that this disc that's up in the sky that's projecting this beam out of the flat side, what we would think of as the bottom if it had the bottom down, that flat side actually has a pink six or eight, I believe it's six-sided figure glowing there with this dark tower sticking out of it. But around the edge of the object, beyond where the edges of the pink hexagon meet the edge of the disc or quasi-disc, are emissions at six points that are blue-green, and they go out and kind of curve around as though we had the electromotive force, which would make the electrons or the plasma move straight out, interacting with the magnetic force, which is called the Lorentz force, and thus producing a curve. You actually see this kind of like what some people call a Catherine wheel, an actual curved blue-green, I don't like the word flame because it's not really a flame, but it is a plasma apparently. And it's blue-green, it contrasts with a beautiful pink. And then at the places in the film where the craft is oriented in a different direction, where you're not seeing what we would think of as the bottom with the tower on it, which is not really the bottom misnomer, if you look at the dome side of it, most of the time that I recall off the top of my head and from the film is that you saw plasma colors, the kind of turquoise and pinks mixed with some kind of electric blue-whites.
All well and good, Ray. We're getting into a lot of extraneous information here that we want to get focused on the practical aspects of what was discovered here. Now, you understand that those who are skeptical of this are going to say, what's he talking about? He's not going to show the film. How should we believe it? So what do you tell people like that?
Well, I tell them that I don't really care whether they believe it or not. I know it's real. There were six of us right there on the pier. And in fact, when I ran out of film, I handed it to the lady that was there beside me, her 21-year-old daughter. I said, take a look yourself at 10 power. I mean, I really don't care if anybody believes it or not. It's reality. It is led, as Chris proves in his book, to a major aerospace technical breakthrough as far as propulsion is concerned. And I think that's enough evidence. People don't want to believe it. It's not religion. So I'm not in the business of proselytizing people.
Good point, Ray. And I must add to the conversation here. I do cover this extensively in my many interviews that I've done with Ray. And one interview does go into quite a bit of detail about this event. And also the amazing amount of legwork that Ray then perform to get corroboration about, you know, from other witnesses, and also checking around the area with aviation you know, sources within the aviation.
Can I mention
something,
Chris? There, you brought something to mind that's important. One thing is, I called after I got the film back and saw how good it was. I called the newspaper in Corpus Christi, and I said, look, I've got this movie, and I explained what I had seen, and I said, I'd like to try to find witnesses with the help of the paper. And he said, well, no, you're telling me the truth. I said, why do you know that? And he said, because we had a call from a boy, 11 years old, that afternoon, right in the time period that you were watching these objects. We had a call after, but he had seen this during that time period, and he had photographs he had took. And I said, well, I'd like to see him. And he said, well, you know, we had him come down. He just had a little camera, and he came down and processed it. And so here's this bright point in the sky. Of course, he didn't have a 10-power lens like I was using, and an expensive Canon one. You know, he had just a little cheap camera. And so I told him, young man, you know, I appreciate your bringing this down, but it's nothing but a satellite, sure. You know, 3 or whenever it was in the afternoon, in broad daylight, a satellite. And so, you know, he said, I just told him it was a satellite. And I said, well, are you going to run a thing, help me find witnesses? And I said, I'd like to interview this boy, but I'd also like to interview other people, like at Cole Park, who probably got super much better film. And he said, no, he said, not unless you let me print photographs from your film frames. And I said, forget it. If you feed potential witnesses a description, it's worthless in the court. In the court of law, but it would also be even more worthless in the court of science. I said, I don't tell them, you know, what to fake on the film if they want to create a hoax. I don't tell them what to describe to me. We keep that secret and let them come forward. What we tell them is the time and the date and the location. and see what they can then tell us. He said, well, I'm not going to work that way. I said, okay, it shows that maybe you're a newspaper man, but you're certainly not a scientist. That's one of the things I thought I ought to bring up. The other one is, that Chris reminded me of, was I called the FAA headquarters in Dallas, Texas. I wanted to try to see about getting radar tracking of these objects. Something quite remarkable happened, and I can prove it's not fiction because I have a tape recording of this conversation in which I told the guy what I wanted, and he said, well, and I told him I'm with Project Starlight International, which everybody knew back in those days in Texas, and but I think he assumed it was some kind of a government operation because of what he just said. He said, well, now, do you want just the regular radar panes, or do you want, now get this, this is an exact quote, the plasma penetration images. This suggests a radar that the right wavelength that can penetrate the plasma that is around these objects for propulsion and actually somehow, probably by some scanning mechanism, give an image of the actual surface, the shape of the object, for example. And at that point, I had to come clean and tell, look, I'm not with the government. I have to tell you, I'm not with the government, and I can't request that kind of information. But I do have a tape recording of him offering it, so I thought maybe I should mention that. He didn't tell me whether they had record of that or not, but we didn't get that far. I was pretty much my mind was blown, and I don't remember where the conversation went after that, though.
Be nice, I guess, also if we were able to hear some of these tape conversations in the future. It's something that would really be fascinating to do a show.
Yeah, they
upon.
Will be. They okay. are going to be released.
Okay.
Enhanced and released.
Okay. So basically, get rid of all the hiss and scratching and all the aberrant analog noise from that sort of thing. And our next segment, we'll be talking more to Chris Lambright. Give him a chance to explain how he took that film, worked with it, and what came next. The book is called X Descending with Chris Lambright. We're also talking to Ray Stanford with Gene Steinberg and Chris O'Brien. You're in
the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items. And entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours, too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Folks, Iran and the Mideast nuclear mess is already ballooning our gas prices. Whether you're struggling with food costs, which are being blown up by gas costs now, or know that when the Mideast showdown explodes, whatever food supply you have is all you'll get because of huge panic demand. eFoods Direct Family Packs are the answer. Now the most affordable, best food is saving you up to 50% compared to other poor quality food companies. The new Alex Jones Quick Fix Family Pack saves you so much money, the savings from eating this food will actually help you pay your other bills. No matter what effect the Mideast crisis or the crashing economy have, you'll have food as delicious tonight as 25 years from now. Order now for 50% savings and free shipping on these affordable family packs. Call 800-409-5633 or efoodsdirect.com/Alex. Call 800-409-5633 or efoodsdirect.com/Alex.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeSig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeSig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeSig.com. And LeSig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeSig.com, spelled LeCIG.com. LeSig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
This is Kurt Sutton, the author of UFO Mysteries, and you're listening to the Paracast.
One of those Chris and Chris episodes. Chris O'Brien, Chris Lambright. Ray Stanford joining us. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast. Chris Lambright, welcome to the show. Perhaps you can start by telling me how you first saw this film, how you reacted to it, and what you did next.
Sure. Hi, Gene. I actually met Ray through our mutual interest in the Socorro case, which I had planned at one point to do a whole set of illustrations, oil paintings back in the day. This was before Photoshop. And had even talked to Dr. Hynek about it, and I began to put together all the information that I could and visually realized that getting that kind of visual detail on cases is virtually impossible. But along the way, I did find Ray's book, Socorro Saucer in a Pentagon Pantry, and I described some of this in the book, but eventually met him down in San Antonio, I believe it was, and he invited me at some point to come visit him at his home in Austin and see some of the other images that he had. And I guess it was probably February, if I'm not mistaken, of 1986, which I recall because it was not too long after he had taken this film that we're discussing now that I drove down. I was living up closer to Dallas at the time, and I drove down to Austin and looked through a lot of his albums of the images that he had taken over, you know, over the years. And if I can clarify, just so that everyone understands, this is what Ray does. But we're not talking about somebody who just goes out and sees things every day, like some of the things that you hear. I won't say how old we each are, but over all of this time, this is simply, he has paid attention. And I think his visual acuity and awareness is obviously what gives him a leg up on, I guess, most of the rest of us. But I do recall when he said, "Let me show you something I got not too long before," and he put the slide screen on the up in his home. And when he projected this, the one image that I recall visually vividly at this point in my mind, I mean, boy, I stood up and walked up to the screen and looked right at it. And I try to describe the feeling as kind of a BS meter that we all have when you see something and maybe even before your conscious mind can identify, your unconscious mind is seeing things and, you know, tapping you in the back of your mind. And I realized right then that this was something altogether different. And, you know, it was a gut instinct at the moment. But even looking at it, I think it would be obvious to anyone who's had some familiarity with, especially images taken with telephoto lenses. I've had a lifelong interest in astronomy, so I've got a little familiarity with the way images should look and, you know, pictures look when they're blown up. But even after seeing this picture and being convinced that I'd seen something altogether different, and he had other images, if I recall, some black and white prints that he'd made that showed the beam moving, because a lot of the things that you're discussing and that he's describing are very apparent. I mean, if you looked at it, you would know. I mean, it would not take anybody who knows anything about aerodynamics, so to speak, to have looked at this thing and said, this isn't very aerodynamic to be flying in this mode. So the beam must be doing something. So, I mean, but at the time, of course, it was speculation. And I drove home even then trying to decide, what have I actually seen? In other words, how do I know what our capabilities were at the time? So even then, having had an interest in it all of that time, my reason for specifically putting this film in the book stems from the fact that whatever anyone wants to say, and at this date, I think it's important to understand that a lot of people have seen this film. If Ray has not put it on the internet, and I'm not so sure I would have either if I had something this telling because of the way the internet is these days, but people have seen these images.
Let me ask you that phrase you just used, the way the internet is these days. Why would you not put a photo of this nature on YouTube, for example?
My concern initially is and I've even told Ray this before because we're getting older and he's, in the past has even had some health scares, that without Ray there to explain details, and I had to go back even in my own book and make sure I specified the date and location because I realized there was a little confusion initially over was this an actual film or was this. So there are certain details that Ray needs to be there to explain. Just like I kick myself that I'd not gone to Paul himself and gotten the details from him, although I have handwritten material. The point is, Ray and his mind, and you can hear his description, is as important to substantiating and giving details of the film as anything else.
What about recording a full presentation from Ray? The presentation showing him in the film, him narrating what details we should look on?
I'm all for it. And in fact, I at one point specifically told Ray that I said, Ray, and in all honesty, just like friends or brothers, Ray and I butt heads over a lot of things ourselves. So this is not, we're all not here just following along behind Ray because he knows if he sends me something, I'm going to put it in and enhance it and check it myself. But my point was that I even told Ray, I said, Ray, I am only going to work off of what I can recall, my memory. And I've seen these images two or three times. I've been to visit Ray in Washington when I saw him down here. And subsequent to that, he's sent me a lot more images to look at, but I was trying to be very careful that I only put in what I could recall because I want people to see what Ray has, and I want him to be able to, I happen to believe that once you see it and you hear what it's about, you'll know. I mean, you will know this is not something. But
okay, but that's academic because we're not seeing it. We're not seeing the presentation.
Correct.
So tell us, what did you do with this material? Where does it become significant other than just another UFO photo?
Because at this point, when I realized that Professor Mirabeau had been to Ray's house, which, of course, I came across quite by accident, I had no knowledge of this beforehand. At that point, as I told Ray, I said, all I have to do is point towards him. If someone out there has questions about the fact that Ray or I or any of us have had an interest in this subject from way back, and how can you know whether Ray's films are legitimate or what, all I have to do is point and say, this professor has now basically made the case for us that there is a technological aspect to what is being caught on film here. And he was able to go back in his, and if you looked at the images that he took in his original article, and you'll notice that the name that he gave to the photograph, the little JPEG image that he used, was DEASM proof. So what he had done was substantiated that what Ray saw was exhibiting some technological processes that were new to him. And to this day, so far as I know, and especially back when he first did his experiments with this, we don't have the capability to actually put that equipment into a device and fly it along. I mean, we're now getting to the point where we can see what's happening and we understand it. And that's, to me, the major significance of this film, even though Ray has others that I think are far more intriguing. This film has been seen by a person with substantial credentials.
Chris, let's talk about that. Lake Mirabeau. Should we have Ray give us a blow-by-blow account of his meeting with Mirabeau? Or, Ray, do you want to talk about that, or should you have Chris do it?
Ray would be. I can tell what I know, but Ray is the expert.
Well, then let me first preface my response by saying that Professor Mirabeau, Dr. Mirabeau, saw this because one of the students that he was working with on his PhD at Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute had been going down to the University of Texas at the time when I got this film. I knew him. I knew of his interest in anomalous aerial objects, and so I invited him over because he was an aerospace engineer student, and I think he was completing his master's degree there at UT. And he saw this, and I explained to him right away what I felt this was doing, that it is de facto, as McCampbell had predicted in his book on UFOs, he's an engineer, he said these things must have a way of communicating with the atmosphere in front of them and saying, get out of the way. Well, that's exactly what I realized this thing was doing with this beam and as the frame sequences show. So I showed this to the student, and he realized that there was something very important here, and he felt that my interpretation was likely correct. And so then he went up to complete his degree at Rensselaer Polytech, and he told Professor Marabou about this. I didn't know that this was going on. I didn't know that Professor Marabou was working on with the Air Force, designing a craft that would take off from the surface of the Earth, go into orbit, and come back down without any fuel, powered by beam from the ground, and that it would be propelled by magnetodynamic principles. But he was. And so I got a call. This engineer had stayed in touch with me, and he called me and said, Ray, would you be willing to show this to Professor Lake Marabou? Here at Polytech, we're coming to Goddard Space Flight Center for an international conference on advanced propulsion, and he'd really like to see this. He's intrigued. And so I invited them over, and they spent hours here during the conference. I think it was probably a two-day conference, but they spent a lot of time here. And I explained to him that I showed him the beam and where you can see it. You can see how it electrifies the atmosphere and moves it right around the object and closes it neatly in a spoiler effect back behind, in fact. And I explained this, and I never expected, I didn't plan to let this out.
I'll tell you what, before we discuss more of the reaction to everything you've done, Ray Stanford, Chris Lambright, the book is called X Descending. With Gene Steinberg and Chris O'Brien, you're in
the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.